Welcome everyone to the March CIC meeting. I think you guys have all met me, but I'm Matt Stewart from AMETS, the planning administrator. We also have Curtis Baker, our director, Seth Bush, Heather Rydell, Matt Mullen, and Jeff Gardner from our staff. And it looks like online we have Austin, Bill, Ron Brubaker, and Amore from Sig, I believe you're from Signal. But so just wanted to say welcome everyone. We have a few items on our agenda today, and then as always, feel free to ask any questions about these agenda items as we're going through them or about any other topics when we kind of move on to other business. So the first item on our agenda is a brief presentation on our draft active transportation plan recommendations. And Heather, I assume you're taking that.
Sure.
Okay.
So attachment 4A includes the draft recommendations for the active transportation plan, which we're calling the ATP. As a reminder, I don't know if you were all here in January, but in January, we brought up the fact that the ATP is an input document for our next long-range plan, which I believe we're going to be passing next year, hopefully, in De or I'm sorry, in the summer of 2025. In January, committee members, our policy and TAC members were asked to assist in updating a map of future shared use path recommendations. The results of that coordination is the draft map and listing of shared use path recommendations, which are included in your packets. So you should see that in 4A. Additionally, staff made this map available online for public comment until tomorrow. So that's hopefully we'll get some comments from all of you tonight that we can include. And we want to make sure that we note that there is the online web map has been updated to include, I believe it was you, Austin, that pointed out a future trail project in Cuyahoga Falls that was not originally included. So in addition to the shared use path listing and map is a draft of the goals and strategies matrix. This matrix lists out the specific infrastructure and outreach goals that we plan to include in our final ATP. So do you guys have any questions? Do you want to talk about it? What do you
And
think?
has anybody, I know Austin's had a chance to look at it. Anyone else here, have you been able to check it out? Any issues navigating the site if you have?
Austin's doing an awesome job representing our group, so I'm not going to
Okay,
step on
great.
his toes.
I did have one question. And Matt, I think you responded to this question about the High Bridge Trail not being included. Just wanted to maybe bring that up and make sure I understand why that was left out of the ATP.
So
Yeah,
was
do you,
that Matt Stewart or Matt Mullen?
I think I emailed Matt Mullen, right? Yeah.
We talked about that, and I don't know, Matt, if you have more a little more detail, because I think there was like the Ohio EPA, and they were examining the bank after the gorge dam is removed, so they don't
Exactly.
think that bank can hold. Are they waiting to see, I guess, to re-examine whether or not that can hold a bike trail, right?
Yeah, I think there's the concern that as the dam is removed, that where they wanted to put that trail, it's just too great of a slope. And they're worried about building it to the standard of a bike trail. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't add to the hiking trails that are there. I think they want to do trails on both sides of the river, if I'm correct. I'm not, don't quote me on that, but I think that's the case. But their idea that they had before of doing, like a 10-foot wide bike trail, we were told by Summit Metro Parks that they just didn't think that was feasible based on the EPA and other information they had received.
So they actually official their board officially ruled that one out as unfeasible because of the difficulty of maintenance after the removal of the dam.
Okay. Thanks for that explanation. I appreciate that. One thing that I'd like to see in the plan in some way is with that trail removed, there isn't a great like trail or path to get from the highly populated area of Cuyahoga Falls down into the valley. I think there were some shared use paths along Portage Trail, but I'm not sure that those went all the way down into the valley.
Yeah, correct, Austin. City of Akron and Cuyahoga Falls, you might be aware, they did the Merriman Valley, Shoemaker Valley plan fairly recently. And I think that the idea of a path, all like if you notice on the map, the path, the future path stops like as you start going down the steep slope. I guess it wasn't recommended to do anything because of just the really great slope, like in front of Timber Top there. That's the information we got from Akron, which I understand was gathered from their planning process.
Yeah, I think I had communicated with Daniel D'Angelo some of the planning work they were doing, and he mentioned they would put a sidewalk there. So I guess if you have a bike, you have got to walk it up or down, which is probably safer than riding it.
Yeah. And I believe that's who we got our information from, too, is Daniel. So any other questions about the active transportation plan?
Ron, you're muted. You're muted, yep. There you go.
I had unmuted. Ron Brubaker, also from Task Force. Austin pointed out to us about the missing section of the Akron secondary line. And I think you've addressed that. If we go into the map now, will we see that it's been added there? Or is it, we will?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. That's important because we're still working working with Metro RTA and trying to advocate for Veterans Trail using that section of the right of way. So we hope to see that happen one day. Appreciate you keeping it in the plan.
Yeah.
We'd like to see it too.
Yes.
Are there any other questions about goals and strategies, the shared use path, the map, any of that? Our public comment period ends tomorrow, so we'll be able to share your comments with policy next week. And then from there, the staff is going to work on finalizing the document and including all of these goals, strategies, recommendations, et cetera, in the plan. So if we're good, we can move on.
Okay. So the next item, if you remember, for those that attended our January meeting, our committees approved funding for several of our projects. We had our round of funding last fall. But we did hold off on awarding funding for our STBG PATA funding, which is kind of our large general source of funding that can go toward a variety of projects. However, we are asking our committees this month to approve the projects that scored the highest with that source. So in this case, we had three projects. And this is item 6A in the agenda packet, if you've had a chance to look at that. But those projects are, the first one is Route 59. It's kind of like a complete streets project just east of the campus. You might be aware that we're doing a very large project in front of Kent State University on Main Street, but this would be the section just east of that as you start moving out into Franklin Township going down the hill. And it would remain a four-lane road, but we'd have a lot of pedestrian improvements, sidewalks, higher visibility crosswalks, and like heightened pedestrian crossings throughout the corridor. There are a couple areas where there are some channelized or some like pedestrian refuge islands. So that's a $3.2 million project. The second one is in Cuyahoga Falls on State Road, starting at the intersection with Quick Road and then going north from there, maybe all the way to the border, but I think it's a little bit short of that, but That's $6.1 million. And then the third project is in the Portage Lakes area. I believe it's all in Coventry Township, but South Main Street improvements, a reconstruction of that roadway and adding pedestrian facilities to that road. And that's $5.9 million. So all told, this is $15.2 million worth of projects that we're planning to, we'll be asking our policy committee next week to approve. So I was wondering if there were any questions about those or if anybody wanted to see any more details on any of those projects.
For the project in Cuyahoga Falls, does that include any shared use paths or?
Yes.
Transportation.
And let me look. And actually, I probably should have talked to other staff about this before, but I learned recent. I thought the roundabout at Quick had been taken out, but I was looking at their STBG application, and that's still part of it. So it does include that. I'm looking. There are sidewalks along the entire roadway. But I do not believe there are bicycle lanes. But the roadway itself would be a three-lane roadway, so they'll be putting in a center left turn lane throughout the corridor. And that goes up to just above Boulder Boulevard, if you know where that is.
Matt, can I ask what STBG stands for?
Yes, Surface Transportation Block Grant.
And how often are these awarded?
Every 2 years. So we receive a lot of STBG funding. And then what AMATS does is we split it into two pots of funding. One is for these larger, more transformative projects. And then the other half of the funding goes toward resurfacing projects.
And are these funds only available to communities?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions about our recommended STBG projects for approval? Okay. So our final item on our agenda is item 6C, which is the Connecting Communities Planning Grant recommendations. And Heather's going to give us a recap of what we're going to be recommending for that.
Sure. So the Connecting Communities Planning Grant recommendation in your packet is 6C. This was the seventh round of funding. We made applications available on our website on January 3rd. We had a budget of $80,000, so our intention was to award two $40,000 grants. We received eight applications by the February 9th deadline. So I don't know if any of you guys remember us doing this about a year and a half ago, but we only received two applications the last time that we, for our sixth round of funding. So we were pretty pleased with eight applications. So we have a task force that meets to discuss the planning grants made up of different people within, from our committees, within our committees. And that group determined that the two applications that best met the goals of the program are New Franklin's State Route 619 Corridor Development Study and Akron's Summit Lake Pedestrian Safety Master Plan. So once policy approves those next week, we will be awarding those two $40,000 grants to those communities and getting started on working on those improvements. So you guys are probably wondering exactly what they're looking to do. State Route 619, from I think it's about Main Street all the way to State Road, or is it State Street? I can't remember, in New Franklin, is right around, I think it's Dano's. There's, if you've heard about the Water 9, isn't that what it's called? Does anyone know? The Water 9? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's going to be a new housing development. And the community recognizes, oh, we're going to have all these people living here. We want to make it more walkable because it's not. There's not really sidewalks. There's a bridge going over a waterway. So they want to make sure that they can have people walking and biking in that area. So this is the perfect time to get in there, take a look at it, make some changes. And then Summit Lake in Akron has received quite a bit of investment over the last few years. The city of Akron is hoping to make it much safer for pedestrians. They talked about some complete streets, which would include biking and pedestrian, some transit improvements, some things to reduce speed in the area, et cetera. So making it easier for the people within the surrounding neighborhood to come in and see all of the amenities that Summit Lake has to offer. So I think that's kind of that's the gist, but I can certainly answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Well, thanks, Heather. That's all we have on our agenda, but we would be happy to entertain any questions or get into conversations about any other topics of things that we're working on or that you're working on. Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, I subscribe to American Trails newsletters and emails. I've got to believe you guys are aware of this, but I just got one yesterday regarding the Active Transportation Infrastructure Investment Program, the yep. grants. And I'm sure I know Curtis is aware of this, and some of you may be, that we at a task force were looking to basically regenerate a revised trail plan for the Veterans Trail, the Akron Secondary. And we've actually gotten a proposal from an outside consulting firm for that rebirth study. And so what we're looking at is we don't quite have the funds in our treasury to cover that, but we're looking at grants and things, and there may be a possibility from what I can see that it almost seems like from the verbiage that I read in this email that an organization like AMATS might be able to. I don't know. Maybe you guys can share some light or tell us whether I'm right.
Yeah,
or wrong.
MPOs are eligible, I believe, for that. Typically, it would be a municipality, though, would be the most, or a group of municipalities would probably be the most appropriate for that. But I believe technically you're right. I think MPOs can apply.
Right. So Matt, if we look at, you know, the last time this was done, I believe the study was funded by the five communities that the trail would connect, you know, Akron, Cuyahoga Falls, Silver Lake, Stowe, and Hudson. I mean, we probably could coordinate something. I mean, do you have any idea how we would do something like that, pull something like that together with the five communities, or we just get one community to sign on to take on the responsibility of applying for a grant? And, you know, I don't know how that would work.
I would recommend, if this was something you were interested in going after, the first step would be to try to get all five communities together to just ask, is there an appetite to apply for this? Now, and you're talking about a planning grant, or what do they call it? Planning and design grants. At least $3 million of the $45.5 million that's set aside for this source is going to go toward those. But yeah, you would want to get the communities together and see if there was an interest in applying for this. And then it would just be a matter of deciding which community would take the lead, and then also how they would break out the local share. Because I believe it's an 80-20 for everything, at least 20% local share. Now there are, I wrote down the details for construction grants, but I don't have it in front of me what the planning and design grants are. But do you remember, Matt or Heather, like what the minimum for those is? I know these tend to be like pretty big, high level projects. I know that for the construction grants, it's like $15 million minimum grants.
I want to say, Matt, what I read real quick, and I have to go back and check on this, is it's $100,000 is a minimum.
Is the minimum? Okay.
Yeah. Is the minimum.
There is a webinar on Monday at 1:00 p.m. that I intend to jump on. And if there's a question and answer period, I'll ask some of these questions during that time.
Okay. And I know, Matt, you told me, is it the April 9th one?
Yeah, April 9th. Okay. The FTA has their webinar. So I'm already signed up for that. So we'll get a little more detail. I think that's a Tuesday.
One of the things, and I don't say this to be discouraging, although I guess maybe I am saying it to be discouraging. I don't mean it to sound discouraging, but I know that I was very much disappointed when I really started reading into the details of the grant, because it's such a small total amount to be spread out nationally. And again, like, I was focusing more on the construction side of things. It's when you look at the minimum grant amount that they'll give out, which is $7.5 million, and there's only
45.
Yeah. And we can assume probably around 30 million of that, or maybe a little more, will go toward construction grants. It's like, we're talking 3 or 4 projects. And I guess the thing that was discouraging to me, at least on the construction side of things, is it was really focused on very large scale projects, you know, like 10, 15, well, no, more than 15 is the minimum, you know, $15, $20 million projects. So I just have to imagine that the scale of this is just so far and above anything that we would be working on. But we did share this at our technical advisory committee meeting this today, just to, so our communities were all aware of it. But those are the things that, you know, I think as we look into this more, we're going to be really trying to hone in on, like, is this just too big of a scale for this region? Are there projects that could fit this? I think that's good that you're going to attend the webinar.
Yeah, I missed 100% of the shots you don't take. So,
Yeah.
And Bill, I think one of the issues that, at least trying to rally some communities around some of these applications, is that the federal applications tend to be overly complex and time consuming. And so, you know, every community is looking at it like, what's my hit rate versus the amount of time I have to spend to put in the application? And I think that's something that will, with this scale of program, give those communities a little bit of heartburn, because it's a lot of work for a little dollar amount to do the study. And I'd be, you know, I mean, not to echo Matt, but you know, that's going to be a hurdle.
We offer free consulting at Task Force.
Yeah. If you guys want to do the application, make Austin do it. I'm sure he'd be really good at it.
I'm gonna make Ron do it. He was an IT project manager. He's the devil for the details, man.
Yeah.
Those two guys are retired too.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and
I like Bill's idea. I like Bill's idea of getting AMATS to file for the application.
Yeah.
What's it take to make that happen?
It's not going to happen. So, you know, the reality is because we are we have, you know, 2.5 counties of members, we're not in the game of filling out grants for communities. We just can't. We don't have the capacity for it. And so one of the things, I think the reality for us, is that we support the best we can, but it's not even something that we really have in our, what we call our work program, like our tasks of duties, for us to be able to do something like that. So unfortunately, we have all sorts of other federal bureaucracy that we have to be doing in place of filling out grants.
Okay.
That said, AMATS has if a community's applying for a grant and they need like help with some of the data or something, or, you know, accessing traffic counts or interpreting, like, we'll help with little things here and there, but actually writing the grant is not something that we do.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd have 45 people lined up asking us to write them grants. You don't, trust me, Bill, you don't want to be offering free grant writing services to people. Like, you will get abused.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So any other questions? And hello, Mary, I see you just joined us. No problem.
Sorry, I do have one question, or just I wanted to know whether you guys were in touch with Dr. Amy Ward from Kent State University, who's doing a research project around the East Main Street corridor reconstruction.
Oh, is she? Okay, that's interesting. We dealt with her a little bit last year when we were in our Safe Streets for All project. So we got to meet her. Do you know what she's doing, and if they're like, what, in what way we might be involved?
Well, I can send you, she made a presentation to a small group of people in Kent.
Okay.
Sustainability Commission, and I could forward her slides to you in the PDF.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, I'd be interested to check that out.
So I can do that. It might be explained. Her project is around vulnerable. It's a term you guys are probably familiar with. Vulnerable
road users.
Yes. So that would be pedestrians and bicyclists.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's right up.
That's a lot of money. She's got a $1 million grant that she's working through. So I thought maybe you could help her make the best use of that.
Certainly should be talking with her. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Please send along that information. To you. Yeah, you can send that to me. Do you have my email address?
Can I send it to Carrie? She's my
person. Yeah, send it to Carrie, and I'll mention it to him tomorrow morning, and he can forward it to me.
Okay, and thank you. I'm sorry I missed the presentation about the maps that you, the GIS.
Yeah, well, and we can go back to, if you had any questions about any of the agenda items. Yeah.
I don't want to make you revisit any of that. No, thank you.
Okay. Any other? Yeah, Ron.
Well, I'll just pass along something that I learned today at a Metro RTA board meeting. For over a year, we've been trying to get some information from Metro about their progress on divesting of the railroad right-of-ways as requested by the Federal Transit Administration. And we really haven't gotten much. But today, there was some good news. They presented in the board that the appraisals of all the rail properties are now complete. So they hired an appraiser either late last year or early this year and got the project going, and it's done now. The next step is they have to get an appraiser to evaluate the appraisals. What do you call that, Bill?
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Covering your butt.
So they'll have the appraisals appraised, and then it goes to the FTA for a review of both the original appraisal and the appraiser or the appraiser's appraisal. But that is like the first step that has to be done before they can really get into serious negotiation on any of these options that they have for divesting of the properties. There's actually 7 possible options that the Federal Transit Administration allows, and Metro has been unwilling to pick one until they know the value of the property and they can have some serious negotiation with parties who may be interested in buying those. So a little bit of progress there.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we had heard something last week that it was really close, so it's good to know they got it across the finish line.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I have another question. You may be aware that the city of Cuyahoga Falls applied for the Bicycle Friendly Community Program through the League of American Bicyclists last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't earn an award. They got honorable mention this time. I was reviewing the report card, so it has a number of different suggestions on how next steps to improve to try to, you know, earn one of those awards in the future. And one of them was to encourage the city of Akron to apply for the program again. I think they had originally applied in 2014 or somewhere in that time frame, and they're supposed to reapply every 4 years or so. So their status has lapsed. So one of the recommendations was to encourage the city of Akron to apply again, which is interesting.
Really interesting.
I'm curious, do you all know who, if I was going to reach out just to make the suggestion to the city of Akron, who would I contact there?
Michelle DeFiore.
Michelle DeFiore. Okay.
I just, for clarification, are you saying one of the recommendations for Cuyahoga Falls to have a better chance is if the city of Akron re-ups? Is
that right? It was included. It was included.
That was weird too.
So I think the league is hoping for some peer pressure to get other cities to reapply or something. So
great.
It was in there. So
you can publicly shame them.
I'm actually surprised, Austin, because, you know, Barberton got bronze back in 2017, maybe 2016.
And they re-upped when Cuyahoga Falls did, and they did get bronze again. So
yeah,
they got.
I guess it's funny. I don't know all their metrics, but it does kind of surprise me. I would think that the Falls has got enough infrastructure there to not get an honorable mention. But that's really weird about the Akron thing. That seems wholly unfair.
Yeah. There was a long list, so that was buried somewhere near the bottom.
Was there a lot of focus, Austin? Like, was there a lot of focus on infrastructure? Were some of the critiques infrastructure related, like not enough of it, or were it more about programs and sort of policy type things?
Yeah, so I don't know this for sure. I think education was a big aspect of it. I reviewed the application that the city submitted, and for the questions about, do you have education for children, teens, adults, the responses to all of those were no. And maybe it just needed a little bit more digging. But below that, it said, you know, this is a really important part of getting a bicycle friendly community. So I don't know if it was just like that aspect. So we're kind of working on figuring out how to introduce some programming. And I'm going to reach out to the schools and see if they're doing anything in their curriculum, or if they could introduce something like that.
I was going to say, I mean, buying and distributing bike lights, like calling the Boy Scouts and just like meeting about bike safety. I feel like while you were doing the application, you could schedule some of those things and just say, we're doing this. Sure. I mean, if you're going to take the time to fill out the application, you might as well check those boxes.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not sure. I think the city is really interested in applying again. I'm not sure when that'll be. But yeah, we'll try again at some point.
I was surprised. It's a pretty heavy lift to apply for that. It's a super detailed application. And when I said a few minutes ago that, you know, occasionally we can help like chip around the edges and help communities with grant applications on just like helping out with data and stuff. That's a recent example of that. A couple of folks on our staff helped Cuyahoga Falls just answer a few of the questions about things that they couldn't answer. And I was just amazed at the length of that application and the number of questions and stuff. So hopefully they can at least reuse all the information that they gathered and just make the application a little better next time.
Is there a fee, Austin?
For communities to apply to that program, it's free. I think Kent applied for it maybe like 2018. I found an old report card that they got from that program.
So
I found that on the web.
Up again, then? You said every 4 years?
Kent's
They applied, but I don't think they were granted
an
award.
Oh. I think the only ones in our county are Barberton and Hudson, and Akron used to be. I'm surprised Kent isn't. I'm surprised they wouldn't have gotten a bronze award If they applied before, I didn't realize that.
Matt, do you know what?
Talk to you about that. Who would be who would have been the applicationer?
I don't know.
The city?
Yeah,
it would have been someone from the city, but
you know, it wouldn't have surprised me if it was, what was the name of that guy that was working in the city manager's office? Heather or Seth, do you remember the young guy that did the Better Block? And he's not there anymore.
Oh.
But I can't, but you know, I think you could probably do a general reach out to the city, yeah. And maybe it was through their community development.
Oh, okay. I know division. Who to ask then.
Okay. I would start there.
Okay.
Is it Hallie?
Would Hallie, mm-hmm. Hallie be the person to ask?
Oh, maybe.
I can't remember if she's Hallie or Haley, but she works at Jim Bowling. Hallie.
Yeah, she works in the engineering department, but she's doing a lot of active transportation type work.
Okay, Hallie, do you know her last name?
No.
I don't.
Engineering, okay.
Well, I can look it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Seth just communicated with her recently, so hopefully we can get that.
Oh, good. And I had another question if we're done with with Austin's query.
Let me just chime in one quick thing. Curtis, you mentioned Hudson. Pretty sure their bike-friendly community status expired a few years ago. I had a conversation a while back about filing for it again, but it's not current at this time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. You find an advocate at a city that works really hard to do it, and if that person leaves or the focus changes, you know, it's hard, I think, for some communities to gear up and do it again, because it is a lot of work, like Matt said.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly what happened in Hudson. It was Greg Hannon. He was involved with Leadership Hudson. And yeah.
That's
that
right.
As their,
yep.
That was their project.
That's right.
And, oh.
We were just talking about, he was just telling me about Leadership Hudson, about his experience there, like, three, what was that? Probably a month ago, Matt. But
yeah,
I forgot that was the project. Yeah.
Harry, what was your question?
Well, I actually two now. I just wanted to ask, what are the advantages of this designation, bike-friendly community? What is it? How does it help a community? And then I have another question related to bike paths.
Austin, can I call on you to talk about the benefits of it? Because I've wondered that myself, Mary. So
yeah. So I think one aspect is just bragging rights, like getting the credentials for your city to promote the city as a place where people might want to live or visit. The application itself, as Matt mentioned, is incredibly detailed. But in the process of going through that application, I've learned so many different ways that communities can, like, different things communities can do to become bicycle friendly. So it's really like a nice kind of blueprint or roadmap for things that cities can do to get better. And then, you know, as cities continue to improve, they can get higher award designations.
I see. Well, that's a kind of a self-assessment tool as well. I mean, you wouldn't even have to apply. You could look at the application and use it as a tool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the other question I had is some biker folks in our community love all of the trails that are coming together and connecting, mm-hmm. But they're asking about signage and like QR codes that people could use. It was just explained or described as people can see what the trails are, but they don't have a context on the signage. Like this trail will eventually connect with this other one. So people come into Kent and they say, which way do we go? So I just wondered about who would be our contact about the signage that's currently up on the Freedom Trail and the Hike and Bike or the various trails that connect.
So the Freedom Trail, you know, that would be the Summit Metro Parks. The Portage Bike and Hike would be Portage County Park District. They would also be like Headwaters Trail. So it'd be basically the two counties park districts are the folks that are kind of in charge of those trails and would be responsible for signage.
The two county park districts. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Sure.
You know, Rails to Trails Conservancy has an app that shows the availability of bike trails. You might check that.
Actually, AMATS is looking to update their bike user map. That's coming, hopefully,
this year. Yeah, hopefully.
Wonderful.
In the next 3 months or so, we should have a new... So, if anyone's not aware, we do have a printed bike user map right now. It's kind of long in the tooth, and we feel a lot of things have really changed in our network since that. I mean, we've updated it, but it's ripe for kind of a redesign. So we're actually in the process right now of finding a consultant to help us redevelop that. And we're kind of changing basically what's on that map, but I think it'll be a more user-friendly map and a more, you know, just better for what we imagine people would use a map like that for. One of the things it'll show is all of the shared use paths and bike lanes, the stuff that is on the active transportation web map that Heather was talking about a few minutes ago. So yeah, stay tuned on that. We should have that wrapped up, I'm really hoping, by June or during June.
Oh, that's exciting. Great.
And Zoom had even talked about doing something, you know, eventually having like an interactive version of that up on our website.
Hey, now don't commit me to something until we.
Hey, you're the one that brought it up.
I said, let me
suggest that.
No, I do think that eventually that's something I would love to see in hand, because I do think whether people like it or not, digital is the wave of the future, and that's where we're headed. And in many ways, we're already there. And in many ways, this particular aspect of what we offer has fallen behind. There are still people that love the paper maps, and whether it just be they like to hold it, they like to look at it. But there's also a practicality of having a map on your phone that you can have in front of you while you're on your bike. That a paper map just will never replace that level of convenience. So it is something that I would love to see happen. I don't have any real scope of how long it will take for something like that to come to fruition, but it is something that I would like to see once we have a fully updated map and we know what we're looking at and what we've got to work with. I would love to do whatever I can to make a actual digitized version of that map a functional reality.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Well, we're thinking about this and have been talking about this a lot, even in the last week or two.
Also, Mary, I added in the comments, it's Hallie Stone, and her email address is in the chat section of this message.
Got it.
Hey, any other questions?
And not so much a question, but just a comment for, is it Amor or Amore from Signal Akron? We've been working at Task Force on, you know, on advocacy for the Veterans Trail, which goes to Akron. And I was actually on your website today. It looks like there's a place where we could submit information for a story. Is that the best way to get our message out?
Sorry, yes, I would say so.
Okay. And you can expect it to happen.
Writing it down, Bill.
Yes, another to-do on my to-do list, right?
Another to-do with your initials on it.
Okay, well, thank you all for taking the time to join us today. for anyone that's a big basketball fan, we'll let you get back to your games. But thanks and enjoy the night. And we'll talk to you next time.